Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody, and Happy New Year to you. Hope you had a great New Year's Eve celebration. We did at our house, and hope you did too. Joining me today in the studio, the echo there, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, guys. How
hey,
you doing?
Hey, Steve.
Good to see you, and
yes,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You know, a couple of things I wanted to talk about, but first of all, just welcome everybody, and if you want to join us on the program, we'll be here for an hour. It's 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number. We had a New Year's Eve party, and we had some therapy-type folks over and recovery-type folks, and just normal people came, too. And well, normal, and whatever that is. And here was one of the things that came up for discussion. Is it more important to have self-esteem or self-compassion? And the answer was, well, it would be self-compassion. Because if you have self-esteem, you can discount it pretty easily, you know. Mm. And you're still going to mess up no matter how much you esteem yourself. But self-compassion says, hey, it's okay. We're going to get right back in there, and we're going to do it again, and we're going to be okay. And so the question would be, is it more important to have a partner that esteems you or has compassion for you? And again, the discussion came around to, well, compassion would be more important, because if somebody says, oh, you're the greatest ever at that, you'll say, yeah, but if they only knew me, or that's just one part, or I'm not that great. But if they just are able to come alongside and have some compassion for what you're going through, rather than what they're going through all the time, it really does make a huge difference. And so I just want to encourage folks to have some compassion for yourself and for the other people around you. They might be doing the best they can, or in a compassionate way, you might be able to encourage them rather than to discourage them. Those are some thoughts there for you to start off 2018.
One of the things I was thinking as you said that was that there are skills that you can develop for self-compassion. But self-esteem,
like what?
Well, changing the way you talk to yourself, instead of being critical, being understanding and empathic. You can change some things to develop compassion for yourself. Self-esteem is sort of a byproduct, and it's not easy to work on directly, although they've tried over the years, but it still doesn't.
It seems like self-esteem kind of rings hollow if you don't have self-compassion, right?
Yeah, right. And you keep tearing it down.
And really, also, no matter what you do, I mean, the big thing is, how is God seeing you? And, you know, if you think God is seeing you through these angry, judgmental, vindictive kind of eyes, you're negating what it says in John that Jesus did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world might be free. Those are some thoughts. We want you to be free. And if you're not, we've got some stuff for you that could really help. This is a great, great time to get in the habit of something new and different. Do something that's going to put you in a better place at the beginning of next year. But I want to give you a key word. I'll try to do this throughout January. Here's a great word for you. Better. B-E-T-T-E-R. You don't have to be the strongest person or the fastest person. But let's get better in the area of strength, fitness, better in what we eat, better in what we put into our minds. Just better. It's a great word for 2018.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
In a couple of seconds, I'm going to go to the phones, but I want to mention one other thing to you. I was thinking this morning about obsessions and compulsions. And, you know, if you are obsessed with something, if you have these obsessions of the mind, you know, the obsessions become your God because they maintain the focus of your attention. You might be obsessed with control or whatever, and that becomes your God. It fills your life. It fills your mind, your time, your focus. But compulsions become your king. They rule everything you do. Even the most sensible things you ignore because you have this compulsion to do something. And every one of our workshops goes to resolve obsessions and compulsions. You don't want an obsession to be the most important thing in your life, the thing that you spend more time on than talking to God. And you don't want your compulsion driving your behavior rather than trying to respond to God. To that end, look at what we've got coming up. Living Light is coming up here January the 24th. That weekend's going to be powerful for a lot of people. It's called Living Light because that's what Jesus is. And, you know, scripture back to John, I was reading this to my kids this morning, but Jesus is the light. And it says God's light came, that's Jesus, came into the world, but the people loved the darkness more than the light. And, you know, maybe we've been eating some pretty dark stuff and maybe we've been laying around and doing some dark things. We can change this. We can do better. And all you have to do to get things turned around is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll tell you about a resource or something that we have or that we're going to do that could really help you get out of the obsessive mind or the compulsive body, obsessions and compulsions. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Jennifer from Woodbridge, Virginia. She listens on WAVA. Really glad that she's with us here today. Hi there, how you doing?
Doing good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you also. What's going on in your life today?
I deal with anxiety, and I am taking medication for it, and I was wondering if there are other methods and how to deal with anxiety besides taking medication.
All right, great question. I think anxiety is one of the most underrated problems in the Christian community. So many of us are afraid, scared, and we call it anxiety, but it's just good old-fashioned fear. We're afraid. Jill, you want to start us off here, and then Dave, what are your thoughts on anxiety and non-medication for it?
Yeah, Jennifer, you're definitely not alone. It's actually kind of become the number one malady amongst people, and young people especially, too. In terms of dealing with it, meds is a good thing because that's a fast intervention for dealing with anxiety. But that just helps you kind of get through and cope day to day. It doesn't really get underneath to the root of why you're feeling afraid and anxious, and that takes some processing. So that's important to work with somebody to see, okay, what's going on that this anxiety, because anxiety is kind of this nebulous thing that, you know, we kind of lump everything into one bucket, and you kind of need to go in and kind of tease it out and see, okay, what really makes up your anxiety? And then you have to do some things that there's no way to get, you know, to just make it go away without going through it. So all of us adults are afraid. You know, just because you become an adult doesn't mean you're not afraid. But but we're afraid and we have to do things anyway. So in getting the support and the structure and then taking some graduated steps towards pushing through what you're afraid of.
Well, the problem, though, with anxiety is I don't know what it is that makes me anxious.
Well, right. That's
Fear has an object. If I'm afraid, I can tell you what I'm afraid of. If I'm feeling anxious, you say, "Why are you anxious?"
Well, I don't
know.
It's
like, I don't know. And often it comes about because you were raised in a fearful environment with your parents and or significant figures in your early development, where it was just kind of a fearful environment and you didn't know what to be afraid of, but you picked up the fears of the adults and you incorporated them. So there's one of the ways of dealing with it is, like Jill was saying, it's a process. Another way is to do some desensitization, where a counselor takes you through a process of desensitizing you to specific things. But I think before you do the desensitizing, it would be helpful to get into the environment that you grew up in and identify the sources of the fear, because that's the kind of thing that creates anxiety, because I don't know what they're afraid of, and they're just afraid, and I pick it up, and I feel it and experience it through them.
Well, a nice little recovery phrase that I have heard. It doesn't resolve it, but I think it's a great, great perspective changer, is do it afraid. That's that's something that you'll hear people say. Let's do it. Let's don't back off because we're afraid. Let's do it afraid.
Do it anyway.
Face what you're afraid of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But secondly, do it with somebody else. You know, to think that you have the power to face every problem and to do it by yourself is a horrible mistake. And those of us who have made that mistake wish we could go back and do it not alone, but do it with someone else.
No, that's really key, because, you know, connecting with another person is calming to the brain and will relieve some of the anxiety.
And you also want to do it moving. And so I use that as a way to get us to exercise. You simply, as an anxious person, if you're not into some vigorous exercise at least 30 minutes a day, you're really cheating yourself. And of course, you can overdo that, but that's not the point here. You need to exercise. And then also, you know, you just need to have that one-on-one therapeutic relationship, like the guys are saying here, that helps you get to the root. Where did this come from, and how has it affected me? What's the benefit for me hanging on to it, and what do I need to do to let it go? And then, you know, you've got a real chance of a totally different life. Totally different life. So let me send you Take Your Life Back. I think that's a book that helps a lot of people who are anxious, who are afraid to literally become in charge or back in control of their life that was dominated by anxiety. Anything else you want to add, Jill or Dave?
Well, you remember in the Take Your Life Back book, we talk about self-compassion as one of the things to do. And self-compassion, we were talking about at the beginning of the program, is also something that is helpful for anxiety.
Yeah. And so often when we're afraid, we think we're incompetent afraid. And we're not. We're just afraid. And there, when you start to look at why, well, there's some really good reasons that we ended up afraid.
Well, and you know, children feel their parents. So like you guys were saying, if you have anxious parents, you know, you take that on and it kind of gets wired into you. And so there are families that run more anxious than other families. And so that's part of it, too.
You can see it in a parent's face, their anxiety, and you don't understand what it is that it's about. So but you internalize that.
But somebody's got to start to do the work to figure it out.
That is true. All right. I want to talk with Jody. And Jody is calling us from Derby, Connecticut. Jody, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing okay. And what's going on with you today?
I have a family matter that's been going on pretty much since October. And I'm confused because I don't know if I did the wrong thing because my family's not talking to me. I wasn't invited for the holidays. I wasn't wished a happy birthday.
So what'd you do?
I reported abuse to the, you know, the services for kids and babies and stuff because there was a lot of abuse going on with the baby. She was being bruised and force-fed, and when she vomited her food, when she wouldn't eat her food, he would plop her outside the door and shut the door and leave her there screaming. He would take her bottle away from her, all kinds of stuff like that, and I just couldn't watch it anymore.
Well, you know what?
Jody, we congratulate you for reporting it.
You did the right thing.
I don't regret me at all because I didn't want to hurt anybody. That's the whole thing, and I just... I don't know if God's mad at me. I don't know.
Well, wait a second. Hold on a second. Wait a second. You did something for a living human being who couldn't do something for herself.
No.
Now the sad thing is that you doubt yourself versus
I didn't want to. I didn't want to confide in my husband about it because he always turns against me, and because I had to explain to my daughter why my mother wasn't talking to me.
Okay,
he overheard, and then he used it as a tool against me.
Okay, so you're paying a really big price for doing the right thing. Now you're talking to folks that we deal with people every day. We're telling you that you did a courageous thing. You did the right thing for the baby. Okay. And so you've paid a price for that. That's what happens when you are in relationship with ignorant people that lack compassion for others, people that don't really care or love.
No, because I've been disowned on and off my whole life.
Okay. So in addition to this, that's brought up a lot of issues here that you've told us about that have come out. And so we want to help you so that you can endure all of this junk that's going on here.
That's what
toward you for doing the very right thing. Yeah, Dave, what do you think here? How can we help?
I'm concerned that you're still in an abusive situation with your husband, Jody, and that.
Yeah, I have been for 30 years. It's just I just can't do anything because I'm trapped. I don't have any income or anything because last year my kidneys failed and I'm on dialysis and I just don't have a way to take care of myself.
Oh, wow. Do you have a support system of friends?
No, I have no friends. I have no one.
Well, that's where you got to start.
Yeah, I think that needs to change, Jody. I think at the very least, you know, perhaps a support group for people who are, you know, struggling with what you're struggling with, just medically.
Yeah.
You know, just any place where you can find some support, and that would be something that nobody, your husband wouldn't be, objectionable to, right? To get support for being on dialysis. Where you start to, you know, meet with people on a regular basis and you guys start to care about each other and you can share your burdens.
Yeah.
We can't be alone in this world. You can't feel like everyone is against you.
But your family's reaction is very predictable because the black sheep in the family, the person who's labeled the black sheep, is typically a truth teller. And that's why they're shunned by the rest of the family because they confront the family with the truth. And you are pushed out now because you are a truth teller. And God is not mad at you for being a truth teller.
Right.
He honors you for that. And but you've got to be with some supportive people. You start with the dialysis group, get a good women's Bible study that you get to know each other at your church, and build some people around you that will give you strength and help you to understand that God loves you. He's not mad at you. He has no reason to be mad at you. He's reserved all that for the end times.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so instead of looking at the obstacle to those things, you have to see that we're talking about a lifeline for you. Unless you have other people in your life, then you do feel trapped. Mm-hmm. When you have other people, that becomes a lifeline.
Yeah, I am so glad that you called. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible. I think there's just such a great path to strength here. I want you to hold on. I want to try to find a counselor for you. I want to see if we could get you to take your life back. You're a person that deserves great honor and praise. I wish you had this self-compassion that we've been talking about, because obviously the people around you don't have compassion. And I'm so sorry about that. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. Let's pray for Jody.
Food has been an issue with me. I keep eating to push down the emotions. I did really well at isolating before I went to Living Light, and it taught me to get out of my comfort zone and just move. We had exercises every morning throughout the workshop, and it really helped me to get in touch with that sadness and get some movement going. I just thought it was really well done, because during the day we had these workshops and we had the smaller groups. I never felt so loved and cared for in my life. I walked away with a hope that I hadn't had in a long time. Living Light was just a turning point for me.
The Living Light Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. January 26th through the 28th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and really glad that you're with us today. By the way, if your goal is to get in better shape, there's that word better, go to tv.newlife.com. Michelle Spadafora, she's one of the presenters at Living Light. She'll help you get started right there in your own living room. If you don't know what to do next to get to a better place, you call us. And, you know, we've been raising money year in. We don't know what the final is going to be. I do know that when we compared our support on certain days last year, you know, we don't know what got postmarked on the 31st and when that will be in, but we'll let you know when it happens. But there was a substantial increase over last year, and that's what we were hoping for, and that's great. It's so important when people come along and help us. And if you want to start the year off right by doing something generous and supporting the ministry, I'll send you this book that I did with Timothy Smith called Loving a Person with Attention Deficit Disorder. Or as my children say, Dad, you have ADOS, which is Attention Deficit Oh, shiny. If you have someone who's easily distracted, this is a great book. I think you're really going to like it. Part of the Wellness Center series, we talked about the one on depression, and this is attention deficit disorder. There's also one that you can get on borderline personality disorder. Let's go back to the phones, and how about we talk with Rochelle? And she is calling us from the California area. KKLA is the station she listens to. Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing well, thank you, and Happy New Year to you. How could we help you today?
I just wanted to know if you guys thought that the right thing to do for a 24-year-old daughter. She's constantly been placed outside of home, sleeping in her car. Mm-hmm. Because she's very unruly, very disrespectful, does not want to keep a job, basically has just lost all motivation for her life. And I do know that she does smoke marijuana. I have no idea if she smokes any other drug. And I've constantly put her out, let her back in, put her out, let her back in. She continues the same cycle. So currently she's been out since October. And I don't have any right now any room in my heart to let her back in. And I just wondered if you guys thought that that was motherly.
You said she's living in her car. She's living in her car.
Rochelle.
Yes.
Rochelle. Well, obviously it doesn't bother her because it's not making any impact on her.
My thoughts, because I'm like, my point in putting her out the last five times was for her to humble herself and hopefully learn a lesson, but she does the same thing over and over and over, and she constantly blames me for whatever problems and issues she has with herself. We've tried therapy. I tried to get her to go to rehab. I tried to get her to go with me. She says there's nothing wrong with her. I called on my own several places, and they told me that there's nothing I can do because she's over 18.
That's
she
right.
has to do it on her own. So I don't know what else to do besides just let her be.
Well, I would let her be, and I would get into Al-Anon myself, because a lot of what you're talking about are the consequences of smoking pot. And
mm-hmm.
California
mm-hmm.
starts the big adventure today, and it's going to be disastrous, because one of the things that pot does, it's addictive for one thing. It's clearly addictive,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the myths about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it also
mm-hmm.
destroys the part, or it affects the part of the brain that has to do with motivation. And you got the evidence in her of not being motivated to do anything beyond what she's doing. And
mm-hmm.
you love her, you pray for her, and you don't let her live in your house as long as she's got that attitude.
Right. There has to be conditions for her to come back into the home. And
right.
so, you know, obviously the conditions that you have done in the past haven't either been the right ones or enough. And so, you know, thinking through what those conditions are that, you know, she does need to be involved in a 12-step program. She needs to be involved in getting help of some kind,
mm-hmm.
you know, owning her behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, though, Rochelle, who pays for her car?
Embarrassing enough, in the past, when I put her out, she told me that she sleeps with people to get a little money, just enough to put on the car so that they don't take it from her. And I would assume that it's the truth, because she has not had a job in the last 2 years and she still has the car. So
That's rough. Well, you know, here's what I want to say. I think it's important that you have a very specific path back inside the house. That it's on paper, that she knows exactly what she needs to do to get back in the house. So
mm-hmm.
if it is, I must attend an AA meeting, I must commit to not using any kind of chemical other than a prescription
mm-hmm.
drug. Whatever you decide, it needs to be very specific. I think going to Al-Anon is a minimal level requirement of a mom like you dealing with this. We want her to get back in the house because we want her soul restored and we want your relationship restored. And I'm really glad you called. I'll send you Take Your Life Back. I hope that that's going to help you. Oh my goodness. We're going to pray for her too. What a horrible situation.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Dave Stoop, he's the author with his wife, Smart Love. Dr. Jill Hubbard, she is the author of Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers and other books. Anytime you are interested in a great resource, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's a great place to find what you're looking for, no matter the topic. Let me read a letter to you from Barry. Dear Steve and the entire New Life team, God bless you and many thanks for all you do. I've spent the past 2 years in the valley of the shadow of death as I watched my wife's affair lead to the destruction of our 16-year marriage. And more painful was watching the impact on my two teenage sons. There were many times that I was in the car feeling defeated, blaming myself, hurting beyond belief, when your show would come on and give me hope. By sharing advice for others in similar situations, you provided me comfort and direction. You truly gave me hope for a new life for me and my sons, who do live with me. While I couldn't save my wife from the consequences of her sin, or protect my sons from the pain that followed, your books also provided insight and helped me put our lives back together and chart a new course. I don't want to live a life of regret, so I will press on, and thankfully your ministry helps me do that. Continue to share godly wisdom through your ministries. I hope this gift of $150 will help toward that end. Isn't that a wonderful... It's sad, but it's wonderful. He's making the best of a horrible, horrible reality there, and his sons will be so thankful. I'm thankful that this is what he is doing. God bless you, and thanks for that. Anybody else, any time that you can help us, please do. Please, if at all possible, give us a call, and we'll say thank you by sending this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Attention Deficit Disorder, One of the products that we feature is the one on depression, understanding and loving a person with depression. All of these really do help you make the best of a really crummy situation. Let's go to Mandy from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, WRGN. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
I had a question for y'all about how you all felt about intimacy before marriage.
Yeah. Like, what are you wanting us to address?
There? Emotional intimacy?
sexual.
We don't think it's a really... Yeah, we don't think it's a good idea. Why do you ask,
okay,
though?
Excuse me? I couldn't hear you.
Why do you ask? We don't think it's a good idea.
Okay. I only ask because I have been through a marriage and divorced for 15 years, in a relationship with someone for about 10. And because of raising our children and jobs in different areas, we don't get to see each other that much. Moving forward to possibly engagement in marriage, and just wondering if that would be not a good thing to do.
I'm wondering why you're thinking about this now. Is this something you've already been actively involved in? Because if you've been dating someone for 10 years, it seems like the question would have come up sooner.
It has. And struggled with it, and going forward, just wondering what some of the things would be that would hurt the relationship in doing that.
Yeah.
Well, one of the arguments against getting involved sexually is that it becomes the focus of the relationship. But you guys know each other. You've been going together for 10 years.
Yeah, it halts emotional growth when you start being sexually active early on.
But the other thing is, like, when a person doesn't get intimate sexually, or when they have been and then they decide to stop and do the right thing, forever there is this reference back to that time where a person showed control. It builds trust when you're apart, when after you are married. And the Bible says let's only have sex. It's dangerous, and it's wonderful, but it's dangerous. So let's confine it to a marriage between a man and a woman. And when you don't do that, you're breaking God's law. It really is. It makes so much sense when you think of the damage that has been done. Because someone took matters into their own hands and decided we're just going to go ahead and go for it anyway, no matter what other folks tell us or what the Bible says. There, if you wait, there's so much honor in waiting, and there's trust building in waiting. And I got to tell you, if you've been dating someone for 10 years, that's a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, I got to ask you, why dating that long and no commitment? And then what's going on now that's starting to happen? Just curious.
It was a long-distance relationship and involved in a family business and raising children. And it was hard to bring it together.
Okay. Well, that can be an honorable thing when somebody's wait. Let's get these kids raised and things like that. So, but I just hope and pray you're not being pressured to do something or continue doing something that really is going to hurt and affect the trust level later.
Well, and if you've waited, Mandy, this long, why not wait until it's right? Why now do it backwards?
Mm-hmm.
And often when people are sexually active, there becomes a lot of excuses for not making the commitment, right? And not moving forward and having all that a relationship can be.
We see it all the time. Yeah, we do see that a lot, where everything's going along fine, they get intimate, and then, you know, there's just no movement after that, so, or it's very slow. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you Every Woman's Battle. I think that's going to be a great book for you. And I'll send you Every Man's Battle also. I think that would be great for him to read. You know, one of the things that happens is people become objects rather than people when we take advantage of them, when we become intimate before marriage. We just see them as sources of gratification and all of that kind of stuff. It just impacts everything. So, man, I just can't say enough for those folks who do what you have to do to have sexual integrity and be sexually pure.
Right, and you know, there are so few things in life that are special anymore. You know, everything is instant gratification. We get everything so quickly, we don't have to wait. Yeah. But how special is it for those who do wait?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
To have that, you know, that wedding night.
You betcha. All right, so really glad that you called. And let's quickly go to, we talked to Kim from San Bernardino, California. KKLA is the station. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hi there. I just want to thank you guys for the truths you love people with.
Oh, thank you for that.
Hoping to get some of that truth right now from you.
What's going on?
I've been in a marriage over 20 years and have children involved, and it's been rocky from the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of counseling, kind of a nervous breakdown 10 years or so back, just from the stress and strain, and rebuilding on that. I've been getting good counsel, and I recognize I'm living with a passive-aggressive husband, and that kind of fits the cues of the lack of emotional intimacy and the shallowness that's always been there, and a lot of the other problems, and I kind of have been the codependent, empathetic person from the beginning. So what
how could we help you?
I'm wondering, how can you guide me to thrive in this situation more than just survive? Because I've had the depression. I want to be what God wants me to be, regardless of the situation I'm in. And looking for some guidance in that. If there's any books or...
Okay. So...
And without feeling guilty about it, without feeling guilty about working on myself, if that makes sense.
Sounds like you're disappointed.
Yeah.
And you want to have some kind of joy and meaningful life. And how do you make it better with him, even though you're kind of on different planes here? All right, we're going to give you some help right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Really glad that you are. We do have folks that are right there on the phones in Dallas, Texas, waiting for your phone call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Just have to call. You can call for help. You can call to support this ministry, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Happy New Year to all of you. Let me tell you, the workshop's coming up. Every Man's Battle, January the 12th. Living Light for Weight Loss, January 26th. Intimacy in Marriage, the 16th of February. Restore, February 23rd. And March 16th, Take Your Life Back. Now, right now, we're talking with Kim, and she's not happy in her marriage. The connection is broken. He's not living up to her expectations. And the guys were saying some things here at the break, and I said, man, I really believe this is why we're here, to tell her these things. So, Jill, why don't you get us started here?
Well, first of all, Kim, I hear that you have done a lot of things to try to help things in your marriage and family. It always makes me sad, though, if someone resigns themselves to this is just the way it is. And I don't know if that's what you're doing or not. I'm glad that you're wanting to figure out how you can thrive, because I think that that is important and that often helps a marriage instead of just waiting for the marriage to get better. But I'm hoping that you're not completely giving up on the marriage and just resigning either. And what Steve mentioned about, he said something about expectations, it is important to make sure your expectations are realistic. In looking at who he is and you know, are you idealizing, you know, and therefore things always fall short. You know, we don't know this in terms of you yet. So just some things to think about.
Yeah, I know, you know, the counseling, we've been through some intensive counseling with, you know, homework along the way, and it happens to a certain degree, but it doesn't continue. There's no follow through.
Okay.
Even with kind of hand-holding type counseling.
It doesn't sound like thriving for you is going to come from him meeting the expectation. Sounds like he either is unaware. So you really have to move. It's so difficult, but you have to move to that place of trying to accept what is, trying to appreciate anything, and try to see if you can't motivate him versus, you know, complain him into change.
Right, and understanding who he really is and what he's capable of.
Let me give you two more things to think of. One of them is to really build up your intimate relationships with women get a lot of your intimacy needs met there. And the second thing would be, I would have conversations with him where you catch him at a time when he's kind of reflective and talks about what it was like as a child. And it's great information for you, but it also would be great information for him in that some things may click that wouldn't happen in counseling because he's so guarded and so defensive. But if he could just kind of start talking about what it was like growing up at different stages of his childhood and what he experienced with his family and with his father especially, just for information, it may lead to a more intimate kind of ability on his part that will give you some satisfaction.
Yeah, there's a lot of denial I know that's there, and just not wanting to go there. Well, not being able to handle
it. Was very painful then.
Right.
Yes, that's
right.
Right.
So that right. does limit your emotional intimacy with him. That
does.
Makes a lot of sense. You know, I also, even though you've tried a lot of things, I really think that our weekend is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes mm-hmm. you just never know what's going to be the thing that finally gets through to a person.
Yeah.
And so that's where the not giving up. And I think it would be great if you guys could come on the weekend. I mean, you have nothing to lose by coming.
And so many people literally thought they hated each other, and they find freedom. And that's what we want for you. So come and join us, please.
It's in Southern California on February 16th. So
right. It is the weekend.
Yes, so it's coming up soon. So, you know, having maybe that to do while in the meantime, you're working on connecting other places.
Yeah. Okay, I want to go to a quick call with Terry from Montgomery, Alabama, listening on Sirius XM. I don't have much time, but I did want to get to your call, Terry. Do you have a quick question for us?
Very quick question. Okay. How I tell somebody who I care about that I'm quitting a job that I've been a part of for 10 years, and unfortunately my decision affects several other people, and it's gonna break up the group.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you know, he's a very good friend of all of ours, and unfortunately they are afraid that it's going to cost them their friendship with him when I do this. I have peace about my decision about quitting. I guess my unease is hurting the other people and hurting him because he's a good friend, but I'm not getting any younger, and I have other responsibilities in my life. And
Well, you know what? You have to do the thing that you believe is right in with respect to the other responsibilities, and you can't not do what is right with respect to those responsibilities, and so that you're going to protect other people's feelings. It's just the reality.
Right. And we're not responsible for taking care of how people react to things. So all we can...
Well, one of them is my spouse, so...
Oh, okay.
Well, then...
Okay.
Then all the more reason.
Well, you might need to start with him and...
Yeah.
And
yeah, I would start with them individually. I would talk to them individually before you make a general
they
announcement.
They actually all know.
Oh, they all know.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, I'm trying to find peace about my, you know, my I'm trying to tell my husband something to give him some peace about it.
Well, here's the thing.
He understands.
Here's the thing.
Just tell him I still love you, honey.
You ask him to try to understand why you need to do this. And tell him that you certainly understand why this is so difficult for him and other folks. But ask them to try to understand your need to do this. Any other thought there? Because we're just about out of time. Jill or Dave, any other thought? Just trying to get somebody to accept her.
Well, and that's the other thing. You have to give them the time to process it and grieve over the loss and to not like it. They don't have to like your decision.
Right.
But I understand you're wanting to offer them some relief. And you know, Steve, you're talking about perspective taking, asking them to kind of put themselves in her shoes and see. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, just letting them know that you realize this is impactful on them and it's why you have so thoughtfully come to this decision and that you're happy to talk with them about it at any time. However, your decision is firm.
That it was a difficult decision because of you care so much about them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we are totally out of time and I will send her Take Your Life Back. I hope that that's going to be a great blessing to her. And thank you all, every one of you who have called us. Our featured product this week is Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. Our thank you to anybody that supports us here, first of the year. That's going to be our Understanding and Loving a Person with Attention Deficit Disorder. We can get those to you really quickly. If you need help, all you have to do is call us. You don't have to figure out whether or not you need a workshop or a book or whatever. Just call us and let us work through whatever it is you're going through. Let us help you try to figure out what it is that would benefit you the very most. That's what we're here for. The phone number is, always will be, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. This is 2018. We started this ministry in 1988, 30 years ago. 30 years of transforming lives. Oh my goodness. Thanks to all of you who continue to help us do it. And thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop. Call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you. We really do. God bless you. See you next time, right here on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.